This is Susan Robb for Teachers for a New Era. I'm talking with Antonine Murdoch, who is publisher for HarperCollins in the UK for children's books. And we're talking about some of the new things at Harper, including a new line called Magic Ballerina, which is going to be a series, you had said.
That's right, yes. Yeah, no, we're effectively launching it on the sort of World Rights Arena at the fair here at Bologna. And it's already caused quite a lot of excitement in the UK. I think I was talking about that because the creative collaboration has been with Darcy Bustle, and she's much beloved in the UK. She's been the prima ballerina at the Royal Opera House in Covent Garden, and she's delightful to work with. So this is a six title series launch this autumn for us, and then we've had such a fantastic reception to it, we're planning a sort of second wave of publishing in the spring. And it's just enchanting because she's brought all her experience of being a prima ballerina to the creation of the series, which has at its heart this little magical dancing shoes, which is a portal to a whole new world of enchantia. And it's been great fun to work with. It's been very well received by the UK trade, as I mentioned. But also what's been interesting is that Darcy Bustle's reputation does have an international profile. We've got lots of French publishers that are absolutely enamoured with her. And so a lot of international interest. And obviously also we're talking to our US colleagues about a US launch as well. And it's very exciting for us because Darcy's agent is a musical impresario, and he's recently put him on production with us. So we're talking about all sorts of collaborations, a signature Magic Ballerina tune, which will be taking some of the classical themes from the ballet and orchestrating it in a contemporary way for children. So it's been a lovely, very creative collaboration. So that's proved a big hit for us at the fair.
And what age is it for?
It's aimed at girls of 5 to 8, so it's an early chapter book series.
Now tell me, you were talking a little bit about it being celebrity, but also more than that.
Well, it's what I would hope would be my sort of celebrity with integrity publishing, because obviously Darcy has got a strong profile. She's a very strong name in the UK, appears on television and very well known. But I think that because the series itself and her experience as a prima ballerina have a completely organic quality, she's been totally involved in the creation of the series, and a lot of the characterisation has been based on her experience. She first learnt to dance when she was 5, so it's absolutely wonderful for the age group. And the ballet school which it's set in has a ballet mistress that's based on the person that taught her to dance. So, and the other point about it is that the magical world, which I think is at the heart of it, is called Enchantia, and it's based on all the characters from the ballet. It's a sort of montage of all the characters in the ballet, and of course Darcy has danced all the main ballet parts, so she's brought this real understanding and intelligence to it. She's also over the years had a lot of fan mail from little girls, and therefore that influenced her quite strongly, I think, in how the series was dealt with visually. She was very keen that the representation of the girls were all different shapes and sizes, so that it would be very embracing, and there was no kind of rigid rules about what you have to be like to be a ballerina, because obviously she's experienced a lot of pressures, you know, on how a ballerina should be. And in fact, she said, laughingly, she said to me, you know, I'm not the average size for a ballerina. She's rather beautiful, but she's very sympathetic to girls, and she wants the series to reach out to them. So I'm really pleased with that. I think it's very exciting.
That was something I was going to ask you, is how much little girls do know her. So they do, actually. But do little girls follow ballet in that way that they follow actresses and things like that?
Well, Darcy is very popular. I mean, the BBC would screen, Darcy's ballets, and I do know children that have got Darcy DVDs. And of course, and so she's quite a sort of well-known household name in the UK. She's actually appeared on comedy shows and things like that where they want a sort of ballerina. She's got a very good sense of humour. So she does reach out to a broader audience. And she was very keen that, the series is not sort of rarefied in any way. So it's not all about, girls that can, are dedicated ballerinas. It's also reaching out to girls that just enjoy dancing. So a lot of the characterization is based on, the love of the dance and the love of the story, which I think is also at the heart of it, because obviously her experience of being a ballerina is actually getting into the ballet world, and she's brought quite a lot of sensitivity to that. She's also got two little girls herself of exactly the right age, which is 6 and 8, so that's been perfect.
So tell me some of what else you're publishing. You had mentioned David Walliams to me, and that's different, that's comedy.
Well, that's a very, very different kind of celebrity publishing too. But again, this is somebody who is a major celebrity in the UK. He's very much the same profile as Ricky Gervais and part of the comedy set. He's been writing fantastic comedy for years. But he, again, although is very high profile and is a great sort of people person, he's always at everybody's parties and so on, but his grounding is in writing. He's a comedy writer and he's written for years. And he's now wanting to tell stories for children, and is proving, in my experience of editing him, he's been brilliant to work with. He's so dedicated. I think I mentioned to you that he's part of a comedy partnership which have this phenomenally successful series in the UK called Little Britain, which is quite subversive and funny, very adult, and not what he'll be doing in his children's writing, although many, many children in the UK do love it when they get a chance to stay up late to watch it. And what he really wanted is, he knows that children enjoy his comedy, but he wanted to write something that had a story at the heart and also was appropriate for the children's audience. So I think I mentioned to you, it was a very original story. I think that was, again, the thing that I think is really important if you're working with people that are actually well-known in another field, that the story that they want to write has a resonance above and beyond who they are. And so when I first met him and he told me about the story he was really keen on writing, it had a really original twist. So I would pitch it as Dar meets Billy Elliot, and that's gone down incredibly well at the fair with people that know David Walliams, as many of our UK customers do. In Australia, he's fantastically big. He did a live action tour there, which was a complete sellout. But also people that don't know him, I think, are interested in the storyline itself. Interesting, he's actually out filming in LA at the moment. Which was to my advantage. He was delayed, obviously, because of the writer's situation out in LA. Because obviously he had to script it before they could film, so it's all been delayed. But he's out in LA and he's filming Little Britain, which will be launched in the US on HBO. So it's exciting.
And what is the title of what you'll be publishing, and a little bit about the plot?
Well, we actually are still working on the title, and we'll probably be unveiling at the London Book Fair. The plot is fantastic. It's about a boy that lives a very humdrum suburban life in a very male household. The mother has left. It's three boys. They spend all their time watching daytime television, slobbing out. And the main character, called Dennis, thinks there must be more to this. And he's then very attracted by a copy of Vogue in the newsagents. And the glamour is, in a sense, his escape. And he then, in detention, because he's also a fantastic football player, he's a striker, meets the sort of coolest girl in the school, and they build this affinity because they have this love of fashion. And then she dresses him up in sequins and high heels. And there's a great comedy moment where he goes into school as her French exchange student. She's on a visit. But of course, all is unveiled and goes wrong, and things don't turn out as expected. There is a wonderful uplifting, what I would call a Spartacus moment, where the whole of the football team support him because he's not allowed to play because of this thing. And so, yes, it's a very cinematic ending where some of the football players come out glammed up. So it's original, it's different. I mean, it's lovely because it works for really young kids, it works at any level you want it to. It's very, very funny, there's lots of verbal wordplay and so on. And it's a very sort of strong storyline. People, do sort of react to it. I think it's very, very fresh and funny. And the boy itself is a really endearing character. It actually does, as well as the comedy, I think there are really, really strong moments, very, very touching moments, because through the story, his father accepts him, and also that he's really sort of lost his mother. So there's a tenderness there, which is absolutely charming. And I'm really, really excited about publishing it.
Well, that will be something to wait for. Let me ask you a question about that. You were talking about celebrity publishing and with integrity, but also just celebrity publishing in general. Is it difficult to edit a celebrity, do you think?
Well, I think I was saying to you earlier, it's whether you know, you're working with somebody whose origins are as a writer. I mean, David Walliams has been fantastic because he's used to scripting and he's used to actually working with a television team, and also with his comedy partner, where they actually edit each other. And so he's actually proved to be a very, very willing author. And I think I mentioned to you that he's quite an exceptional man, that he's been involved in a sports relief charity, which is a major UK charity, and he swam the channel from the UK to France, very motivated, and recently swam the Straits of Gibraltar. So he's one of the most determined authors I've actually worked with over the last few years, in terms of wanting to tell a story to children, and he understands he's moving from writing to adults to writing to children, and he really wants to craft it and get it right. So I think that's somebody who is, in a sense, been a writer first and become a celebrity because of the success of their creation, which has been the television scripts, and also he wrote for radio and so on. Darcy, as I say, is coming with a talent as a ballerina. I think it's more difficult when the celebrity is known generally for being famous as opposed for a craft of any sort, and then I think that can be difficult. But I think we also have to be really open-minded in children's books, and we have to work with people that communicate with children and make those connections, and not leave those connections to other media. So I am open-minded. I think one has to judge, you know, each project on its own merits.
Tell me what you see as trends from where you sit.
In the UK market at the moment, I mean, I think what's interesting is that series publishing is remaining really buoyant. It started with the phenomenon of sort of rainbow magic a few years ago, and there are still very, very strong series launches in the 5-8 market, which has been a growth area in the UK. You know, still very strong on sort of fantasy publishing. At HarperCollins UK, we were publishers of Skullduggery Pleasant, which has proved really successful in the UK. It was a winner of the Richard and Judy Book Show Award, which is like your Oprah show, and very significant in the UK. So I think fiction remains really robust. I think what's interesting about Bologna here is that there's been that our Book Trust Association in the UK has really put the showcase on picture books in an attempt actually to create a little bit more of a renaissance in our market, where it's been a little bit fatigued. And there was actually at the Bologna Book Fair, there was an announcement by Michael Rosen, who's our Children's Laureate, of the 10 best illustrators that have been judged and chosen, that have been published in the UK since 2000. I think it was particularly good that it was at Bologna, because I think the international aspect of the Bologna Book Fair, where there's a lot of emphasis on selling picture book rights, which we need to do in order to make the cost to work, means it's a great forum. So I think we're sort of also paused maybe to look at some renaissance of activity in picture books. We're publishing Fancy Nancy in the UK, which has been such a success in the US, and I think it only needs a sort of phenomenon like that. You know, it's a kind of Fancy Nancy is the sort of the Harry Potter for little girls. You know, if you get a book that breaks out, then you can actually get a renaissance in a category. So we're launching Fancy Nancy. We're hoping to do well, and I think the picture book market, you know, I think is sort of recovering from a period that I think has actually been a little bit challenging.
What about formats, three-dimensional multimedia? What do you see in that area?
You mean diversifying into? I mean, at HarperCollins UK, we're doing a lot of work on digital publishing. We're launching an electronic books publishing program. So there is a lot of activity and interest in that area in the UK at the moment. Yeah.
I think it's interesting to see, because certainly other parts of the media are looking at diversifying into books as well. So it'll be interesting to see how all of that comes out. And what about any other things that you have on the horizon, authors that we should be watching for in the U.S.?
In terms of new talent, we have had an author that I think is exceptionally talented called Jenny Valentine, that has been shortlisted for practically every new first author award. She was on the Waterstones, which is our major retail chain first novel award. She won the Guardian Award, which is a very prestigious literary award from one of our major broadsheets. And she's been shortlisted for also a number of independent awards for her first novel, which was Finding Violet Park, which has also been launched in the US. And I think it's really rare for a novelist with the first book to get so much critical acclaim. So that's really exciting for us, because that's actually a totally original new voice. So we're publishing, we'll be publishing her third book next year, and we really, you know, want to turn that critical acclaim into a commercial success for her.
Well, great. And Janine, thank you very much for talking with me.
That's great. It's really lovely to see you, Susan, in Bologna. Great to see you again.